And Carla, am I correct? Could you confirm we've completed the consent agenda?
Yes, that was all.
Very good. Our last item today is 866.
Authorize city attorney to appeal final opinion and order in Columbia Pacific Building Trades versus City of Portland Land Use Board of Appeals number 2017-001.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Lindley Reese. I'm a chief deputy city attorney with the city attorney's office. With me today is Lauren King, also a deputy city attorney. We'll make some brief comments, and then if you have questions after testimony, we'd be glad to take them. In December 2016, the City Council amended the zoning code to create a new use category called bulk fossil fuel terminals. That category limits the size of new fossil fuel terminals and the expansion of existing terminals. Four parties appealed Council's decision to the Land Use Board of Appeals. And on July 19, 2017, they reversed the city's decision, in part because they concluded that the city's regulations were unconstitutional. The city attorney's office believes that there's a reasonable basis for asking the Oregon Court of Appeals to reconsider LUBA's decision. By city code, we must ask this council to authorize the city attorney to institute such an appeal, and that's why we're here before you today.
Very good. Commissioner Fish?
Lindley, I have a question because, you know, there's some lawyers in the room, but a lot of us sort of had some passing whatever with the, quote, dormant commerce clause, but now it's back and it's like the big issue. I want to just make sure I understand the framework here. So there are areas where we legislate that someone has said we're preempted from acting. And so we deal with that all the time. The state legislature or the federal government says we can't do something. That's very clear. This is different. This is an example where we did something and a reviewing body said under the Commerce Clause, what we did somehow unreasonably affects interstate commerce, and therefore what we did is unconstitutional. The effect is the same. It's in the first instance, we are told we can't do something, and in this instance, we're told that what we did is unconstitutional. But in effect, that's what we're dealing with here, right? This is an area where we have the right to legislate, but a single member of LUBA said that it runs afoul of the Dormant Commerce Clause and therefore is unconstitutional. And the question that you're asking us is, are we prepared to go to the Court of Appeals to challenge that ruling?
Both to challenge the determination under the Dormant Commerce Clause as well as a couple of findings and evidentiary issues, which we're in the process of evaluating other areas to determine whether we'll appeal on those bases.
Okay. And the other question I wanted to ask is, you know, we're always concerned about precedent. Now, I know that you often tell us that each LUBA decision stands on its own and is fact-bound. But it does seem to me the difference here is that the Dormant Commerce Clause analysis could represent a challenge to a lot of the regulating we're doing at the local level, where someone from outside of our community can claim that it somehow interferes with interstate commerce and therefore try to limit our ability to legislate local community standards. Is that a fair comment?
It's a fair comment that folks may raise that. I think our argument would be typically in a case that the analysis is limited to the facts in that particular case. And so I don't think we certainly would be supporting the idea that it applies more broadly, but it's certainly possible that people could raise that argument.
And in fact, given that we have a rather ambitious climate agenda and a plan guiding our action, I mean, this particular issue could come up in the future.
Yes.
On lots of these kinds of land use decisions where someone is challenging our action based on the Commerce Clause.
Yes, that is possible.
So we're really talking about a fundamental constitutional question that relates to our ability as local leaders to legislate. And I think that makes this qualitatively different than some of the other kind of LUBA rulings that we often hear about.
Yeah, it's unusual for the city to appeal a LUBA ruling.
Thank you.
From a practical standpoint, what is our policy while this is being appealed?
We're evaluating. Yeah. We're evaluating that at this time.
Very good.
Are LUBA members attorneys necessarily?
They are.
Okay. They're appointed by the governor.
Okay. So Commissioner Fish made reference to one LUBA member, I guess.
In this particular instance, there are three LUBA members. Two of the LUBA members recused themselves based on family member participation in the council proceedings.
Hmm. And I'd just like to add the hilarious footnote that that was reported in the press as a unanimous decision.
Yeah, really. That is baffling.
Typically, a one-person decision is.
A one-person decision.
And by the way,
they could have said unilateral.
That's funny.
Sorry.
And colleagues, on that point, I mean, you know, it's certainly possible that all three members of LUBA could get it wrong from our point of view. But I do think that what makes this case unique is that we're talking about a fundamental constitutional question decided by a single member of LUBA, which could in the future significantly limit our ability to move forward with climate-related legislation. And I think the combination of a single person rendering a decision, and we are all as human beings fallible, and the consequences of that decision on things we are likely to do in the future makes this case ripe for appeal.
Yeah, I appreciate Commissioner Fish's line of questioning. That certainly frames it for me and lays it out. So I appreciate the line of questioning you just went through. Colleagues, any further questions? Is there any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Very good. There being no further comments or questions, this is a non-emergency.
This is resolution.
Oh. What's
the resolution?
Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, I do believe, especially in light of my new information, that this was decided by one person on LUBA, that we have more than ample grounds here to appeal this to the Court of Appeals. I guess my initial reaction when I first heard of the decision, the unanimous decision, was, you know, the Commerce Clause is a pretty high bar to cross. And certainly the Court of Appeals will, I'm sure, weigh into this after how long it takes them. I don't know, a year, 2 years. But it's an important issue. It does underpin, as Commissioner Fish said, many of our efforts to move forward on issues around climate change and many other issues where our residents are looking more to local governments for solutions than they're looking to the state or the federal governments because, at least certainly with respect to federal government, there's just no leadership on climate change in the executive branch, period. So this is an appeal that needs to be taken forward, and I'm happy to support it. Aye.
Hugh Daly.
I'm also happy to support this appeal. My layperson's understanding of the Dormant Commerce Clause, I am not convinced that we're in violation of it. And I am also ready and willing to fight back against the state interfering in our ability to protect our environment and to protect our residents and make what we think are the best decisions for our city. We need them to set standards that protect people, not profit. Aye.
Fritz.
Listen, I agree with everything everybody else has said. Also, there's a long precedent of land use decisions made by the Land Use Board of Appeals being on land use issues and not constitutional law. So I agree that it's very crucial to get this sent up the ladder so that we can continue doing the work that we do, because this was a national precedent-setting legislation that we passed. Now we're proud to be part of it. Aye.
Fish?
I appreciate the conversation. Again, I think the fundamental question here is who gets to decide these questions? And under this ruling, greater weight is given to people who live outside of Portland than live inside Portland. And the precedent could be used to challenge many actions we are likely to take in the future to protect the safety and health of our residents, and it extends well beyond climate change. So I think it's very important that we appeal this decision. It reminds me a little bit of the debate around international treaties and the resistance that we've had nationally to some treaties where we have effectively ceded our sovereignty to neutral bodies in another country, and the net result is a diminution of labor standards, environmental standards, and other things. I think the consequence of this, and that may be a little overstated, is potentially a loss of sovereignty, local control over charting how we intend to respond to climate change. That makes this a very important question to appeal and to get clarity on the constitutional question. So I wholeheartedly support this appeal. Aye.
Wheeler.
I have three reasons why I will vote for this. Number one, I agree with those who have said that, you know, overtly this impacts the work that we have already done to achieve our climate action goals. We need the ordinance in place. It was an important ordinance. The community came out in large numbers to speak in support of that ordinance, and they would expect us to continue to defend that ordinance. Number two, and I'm very appreciative again of Commissioner Fish's framing of this issue. He made a compelling case, which I agree with, that there is more at stake here than that important issue of climate change. And so that is a second reason why I think it is our duty to defend the ordinance. And the third reason is one that has been mentioned. I'm not going to pick on the poor one standing LUBA commissioner who had to make a difficult decision. They are, you know, volunteers, and I appreciate the decisions that they make, and they're always controversial decisions. But one commissioner's viewpoint is hardly a definitive opinion on this important issue. And therefore, I think we have a duty to go forward and defend the ordinance for that third reason as well. So I certainly support this. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted, and we are adjourned until 2 p.m. Thank you, everybody.